Morning. Today's daf in Sukkah, daf Nun Hey. We're back on Nundala Amud Beis, and we're going to be starting from the two dots towards the top of the Amud. We thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. We'll be learning with Zecher Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. The Gemara is a continuation of yesterday's daf. We are in the middle of discussing Tkios, the Mishnah. If you go back all the way to Nun Gimel Amud Beis, the Mishnah described the minimum and maximum number of Tkios every time we offer a carbon. So in conjunction with the Karbana, so we blow shofar. The mitzvah to blow shofar is done specifically in conjunction with the shir, meaning with every carbon we know there's a shir that's sung together with the offering of the carbon, specifically at the point of nisuch, at the point where they're pouring the wine of the carbon, and during this point of shir, so they would blow shofar. What the Mishnah told us is that there's a minimum and there's a maximum. Minimum number of 21 shofars that are blown, and a maximum of 48. How do we arrive at numbers 21 and 48? So for a regular day, where there's nothing unusual occurring, so there would be 21. How do we get to the number 21? So as we learned, 9 for the Tamish HaShachar, 9 for the Tamish HaBein HaRabayim. How do we get to 9 shofar? So every time there's a shir that's sung, so they would pause 3 times within the shir. There'd be like a break, a natural break that occurs within the shir, and at these breaks, so they would blow shofar. Every time they would blow shofar, it would be tekiah true tekiah. As we learned in yesterday's daf, that's counted as 3. Tekiah true tekiah is counted as 3 counts. Rabbi Yehuda's position is that we count that all as 1, but we don't go like Rabbi Yehuda. Our Mishnah is going like the Chachamim. So tekiah true tekiah is counted as 3. We do that 3 times over, so that's 9. 9 for the Tamid Shel Shachar, again 9 for the Tamid Shel Bayim, that's 18. And how do we get another 3? So Psichas Hashar, the opening of the gate that happens in the morning. So the shofar is blown once again, Tekiah Chua Tekiah, so that results in 21. That's a regular day. What's the maximum number? So the Gemara says 48. When would we have 48? So we have a number of occasions where it would be 48. We're discussing it in the context of Sukkos. Where Sukkot you can have 48. How does our Mishnah arrive at 48? Because there's the regular 21 that we started off with, plus, in addition to that, on Sukkot, so there are going to be 12 more for the Nisuch HaMayim, for the pouring of the water. So remember, 3 at the top gate, 3 at the, in other words, as they're making the procession down to draw the water, 3 at the top gate, 3 at the bottom gate, Shal Elyon, Shal Tachton, 3 for the actual filling up of the water, and then another 3 for the Mizbech. We quoted the Rashi yesterday. Rashi said the Mizbech does not mean the pouring of the water on the Mizbech, but rather that's referring to the Arava. So that's another 12. So 21 plus 12, so that gets us to 33. And then the Musaf, in other words, there's a Musaf that's so offered on Sukkot, so that gets us to, that's another 9, 33, I just lost myself. 21 plus 12 is, let's do it like this. The Musaf 21 plus 9 is 30, plus another 12 for the Mayim, that's 42, plus, it's the Mishnah says, what if it's Erev Shabbos? So if it were Erev Shabbos, then we would add another 6. Why is 6 shofars blown on Erev Shabbos? So 3 to tell everyone to go home. In other words, stop working and go home. And then 3 to tell everyone Shabbos is now formally and officially beginning. So that gets us now to 48. That's one example of how we would get to 48. There's other ways to get to 48 as well. We ended off yesterday's daf by pointing out Erev Pesach. We'd also would get to the number 48. How would we get to 48 on Erev Pesach? So again, 21 for the regular day. Erev Pesach is a regular day. But on top of that, it's not just the 21, but it's also we're going to add more. We explained yesterday, we quoted the Mishnah Pesachim. Mishnah Pesachim said, Samach Dalet, that on Erev Pesach, so you obviously the Jewish people would offer the Karban Pesach. That would be done in 3 shifts. The Mishnah in Pesachim says it has to be done in 3 shifts. There are Pesukim, Kahal, Adas, Yisrael. So it has to be done in 3 shifts. And so therefore, in Erev Pesach, so that would give us another 21. How the numbers come out to 21? So we explained yesterday, because every shift that would be offering the Karban Pesach, so they'd be saying Hallel. They'd be saying Hallel second time, every shift. They'd be saying Hallel second time, and they'd be saying Hallel third time. And every time they would say Hallel, they would blow shofar on 3 occasions while saying Hallel. So that would be 3 times 3, so that would be another 9. That would be for every Hallel, multiply that by 3. So that would get us 9 times 3 is 27. I'm sorry, so 21. Mistake, it's 27. So 27 for the offering of the Karban Pesach on Erev Pesach. 27 plus 21, so that's 48. So that's another way to get to 48. The Gemara noted yesterday that there is a shita of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, again Rabbi Yehuda says that on Erev Pesach, they wouldn't blow 27 times, they would only blow 21 times. That's why I was confused just a moment ago. Why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, would they only blow 21 times on Erev Pesach? So as he explained yesterday, the reason is because the third shift, there would be so few people, they would only get through one round of challah. They wouldn't even get through three rounds of challah. Okay, anyway, so fine. But either way, what comes out is that there are a couple of occasions, and there's another occasion as well, which the Gemara went over yesterday, we're not going to go over again. But in other words, there are multiple occasions where we're going to blow the shofar 48 times. Fine. So that's how we get from the minimum number of 21 to the maximum number of 48. In the Gemara yesterday, which we're going to pursue and continue today, is the Chiddush of Rabbi Acha. What's his Chiddush? That on the occasion that I have multiple Musafim, meaning let's say we have a conjunction of Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos. So Rabbi Acha says he quoted a Braisa, he quoted Pesukim, but it's really his thesis, it's his position, that on a day where there are multiple Musafim, so I'm going to blow for every Musaf. So in other words, for the Musaf Rosh Chodesh, we'll have 9 Tekiah blasts, and for the Musaf of Shabbos, we'll have 9 Tekiah blasts. That's the opinion of Rabbi Acha, and over the course of today, we're going to continue analyzing, and just to give away the conclusion, end up rejecting his Chiddush. But that's the Chiddush of Rabbi Acha, which we're going to come back to later today. Okay, that's an overview of what we've been discussing, and we're continuing. We're on Nundal Amud Beis, and we're starting at the two dots. Ein Mosifin Amen Ches. There's no more than 48. 48 is the maximum. To which the Gemara says, "Velo," meaning, right? Is that that's good? That's accurate? That's true? And that's not true. Let's do it this way. Let's say in a scenario where I have Erev Pesach falling out on Erev Shabbos. Erev Pesach falling out on Erev Shabbos. So that's going to get us well over 48. Why? So again, Erev Pesach, let's just deal with Erev Pesach. So Erev Pesach, as we just articulated, comes out that there are 48 shofar blasts. Again, 21 for the regular day, like any other day, 3 for the opening of the gate, 9 plus another 9, 9 for Tamish HaShachar, 9 for Tamish HaBayin HaBayim, so that gets us to 21, and then Karm Pesach gets us to 27. Again, 3 shifts of Jewish people, and each shift they're blowing the shofar 9 times, 9 times 3 is 27. 27 plus 21, that's 48. And then add to that it's Erev Shabbos. Being that it's Erev Shabbos, what does that mean? It means we got to blow another 6 times to tell the people to go home, in other words, leave work and go home, 3, and another 3 to tell everyone that Shabbos is beginning. So now I'll take the 48 and add 6 to the 48. So the Gemara says, so why are we saying the maximum is 48? That's simply not true. We can have an occurrence where there's going to be more than 48. The Gemara articulates this question. The Eila Rabbi Yehuda Chamishim Echad, and now if you're Rabbi Yehuda, that's going to be 51. Because remember, as we just pointed out, according to Rabbi Yehuda, on Erev Pesach, we don't blow the shofar 27 times, it only comes out to 21 times, but still 21 times plus another 6. Okay, 21 plus 6, so that's going to get us to 27. 27 plus the Eila Rabbi Yehuda Chamshin V'chada, so that's 27 plus plus the 21, so that's 48. Wait, but we need to get to 51.
18,
3 quarter.
Huh? The third holiday.
All right. Right. Okay. Fine. Okay. Good. So you get to 51. And Eila Rabbanan Chamshin V'sheva. And according to the Chachamim, would be 57. In other words, according to the Chachamim, it's 27 for a shofar. It's 21 for the regular day. I'm sorry, 27 for Pesach. It's 21 for the regular day. That's already 48. And then you're going to tack on another 6. So the Gemara says, so you have well more than 48. So the Gemara says, "Ki katani mi didi isa bechol shana erev Pesach shchalos b'Shabbos." The lay say, "Bechol shana v'shana lo katani." I see why I'm all confused. I apologize. We're not talking about Erev Pesach falling on Erev Shabbos. I'm sorry. We're talking about Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. Okay, now I'm back. Okay, Erev Pesach that falls out on Shabbos. So in other words, on Shabbos you have the 9 shofros, the 9 blasts for the Musaf. There we go. So the 9 blasts for the Musaf, that's 48 plus another 9. Okay, so that's 57, according to the Chachamim. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're subtracting 6, because again, 6 isn't in the last shift, so it's 51. Fine. So, but 57, 51, that's much more than 48. Okay, Kikitani. So the Gemara's response is like this. You're right. Okay, 100%. Got it. There are going to be occasions where the number is going to exceed 48. But Kikitani, mi didisa b'choshana erev Pesach, shchalos b'shabbos, delesa b'choshana v'shana lo kitani. So the Gemara's response is, look, we're looking for annual occurrences. You're right. There are going to be occasions, there are going to be years where they're going to be 51 and 57. But that is only in a conjunction year. In a year where Erev Pesach falls out on Shabbos. Fine. But that's not every year. It'll be an unusual occurrence. So the Gemara's response is basically, it's not going to happen every year. And our Mishnah is only going to give us 48. That happens annually. So the Gemara says, okay, but let's look at our Mishnah. Fine. So you want to posit that our Mishnah is only counting annual events. Our Mishnah is not necessarily an annual event. Meaning, what was our Mishnah scenario? Our Mishnah paints a scene where it was Erev Shabbos during Sukkos. Erev Shabbos during Sukkos, that's 48. Erev Shabbos during Sukkos is not an annual event. Now think about this. This is going to be, it takes a little bit of thinking power. Which I've already exhausted all my thinking power. And we're in the beginning of the daf. But Erev Pesach that falls out on Sukkos is not an annual event. Now how can that not be an annual event? Meaning Sukkos is a 7-day affair. So being that Sukkos is a 7-day affair, every Sukkos is going to have every day of the week. That's true. But Zimnin de lo mishkachalei. But sometimes it's not going to happen where Erev Pesach falls out during Sukkos. How? How's that going to happen? Vehechi dami kigon shechal Yom Tov Rishon be'erev Shabbos. Let's say Yom Tov Rishon falls out on Shabbos. So now, I'm sorry. Right, Yom Tov Rishon be'erev Shabbos. Yom Tov Rishon falls out on a Friday. Yom Tov Rishon falls out on a Friday. So what's going to happen on that day? So what's happening on that day is we're not having the procession of the Nisuch HaMayim. Right, remember, what did we learn in our Mishnah? The Nisuch HaMayim procession occurs Motzei Yom Tov Rishon. Okay, so in other words, so in that particular year, if that were to occur, again, the first day of Sukkos falls on a Friday, so we're going to be missing, we're going to be absent, the 12 blasts for the procession of the Nisuch HaMayim. So that's going to be 48 minus 12. Huh? So fine, and then what does that mean? It means now, and what about, okay, fine, so then what about the following Friday? The following Friday is going to be Shmini Atzeres. So ki miklin and Yom Tov Rishon be'erev Shabbos midchei dachinan lei. So remember, it gets pushed off. We don't do the Nisuch HaMayim that first day, the procession of the Nisuch HaMayim. And so now, essentially what has occurred is, we are in a situation, we're going to be in a scenario where I don't have 48, if we had such a conjunction. And now that means that our assertion was, well, our Mishnah is only looking for annual events. Our Mishnah is not necessarily an annual event. My time came and declared Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Lios Be'er Shabbos Yom Kippur Mei Matzavei. So the Gemara's response is as follows. Well, let's think this all the way through. Meaning, what did that mean that the first day of Sukkos fell out on Friday? If the first day of Sukkos fell out on Friday, that means that Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday, right? That has to be Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Sukkos is always going to be on the same day. Sukkos is the 15th day of the month. So that means that if I back up 15 days, that means Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday. Now, if Rosh Hashanah was on a Friday, what is that telling us about Yom Kippur? Yom Kippur that year is going to fall on a Sunday. So the Gemara is about to argue that's not going to happen. So the Gemara says Havi b'chab Shabbos. That means that Yom Kippur is going to fall on a Sunday. Hilkach dachinan lei. And therefore, what do? We manipulate the calendar. We make it so that that would not occur. We don't want Yom Kippur to fall out on a Sunday. Why not? Why don't we want Yom Kippur to fall on a Sunday? So this is going to be a discussion that we're going to explore more in Rosh Hashanah. On Daf Chaf, Rashi over here points out, we don't want a Shabbos Yom Kippur consecutive. The reason why we don't want that, the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah is going to explain, Rashi over here presents it in one line, Mishum Yiraka or Mishum Messiah, Rashi says. Because that's 2 days of Shabbos. Meaning Yontav and Shabbos are not the same. Yontav, so we're allowed to do food preparation. Yontav, we're allowed to bury the dead. In fact, we're going to be discussing that in just a couple days from now in Masech Tebeitza. So to have one day of Yontav, to have 2 days of Yontav, to have Shabbos Yontav back to back, so that we can handle. To have Shabbos Yom Kippur, so it could be now that we're going to go 48 days without burial. Now go back to a time when there was no refrigeration, 2 days without burial, so that's a lot of time for the body to decompose. It's not covered for the body. So therefore the Chachamim sensitive to that, so the Chachamim would manipulate the calendar so that Rosh Hashanah will not fall out on a Friday. If Rosh Hashanah were to fall on a Friday, Yom Kippur would fall on a Sunday. How is the manipulation done? So when we get to Rosh Hashanah, we're going to discuss this in much greater detail. But to say it simply, it's very easy. Very easy to manipulate the calendar, because what we'll simply do is, we have the choice to make the previous month a 29-day month or a 30-day month, and we could do that for any given month. So looking and forecasting ahead, we could just simply say, if we're going to continue on this path, where Rosh Hashanah is going to come out on a Friday, okay, we're adjusting. We're going to play around with the months. We have the ability to do that. And so therefore we will just simply not permit Rosh Hashanah to fall on a Friday. And because we're not going to permit for Rosh Hashanah to fall on a Friday, that means the first day of Sukkot is also not going to fall on a Friday. Okay, good question. And part of that manipulation, we manipulate that as well. In other words, we'll say to the witnesses, you saw the month? You didn't see the month. in other words, in Rosh Hashanah, we'll discuss this in much greater detail, but we have that kind of power to manipulate. We can manipulate the calendar. And once the calendar is set, right now I'll give away the secret, although it's a secret that we've said a number of times over here. When the calendar was set 1,700 years ago, approximately. So when the calendar was set, so they set in a way where, even in the set calendar, it's not going to happen. Right? They adjusted the calendar so that Rosh Hashanah will never fall out on a Sunday, on a Wednesday, or on a Friday. And that's the way we've been for the last 1,700 years. We don't have to think about the calendar. Calendar has been set for us. But in that setting of the calendar, I mean, the chachma involved in the setting of that calendar is amazing. It's amazing. Right, correct. Correct. I had a private conversation with somebody. If given the task, I dabble in math. But given the task of setting the calendar so that you have all these considerations and all these variables, I don't know if I could have done it. But they did it. They figured it out. So fine.
Can't fall on a Friday either.
Right, correct. In other words, in the set calendar, right, we're going to have it so that Yom Kippur doesn't fall on a Friday nor on a Sunday. Good. So the Gemara says fine. So in other words, basically in defense of our Mishnah, again, all this discussion is a result of the fact that the Gemara's assertion was, well, we're only looking for annual events. The Gemara says, well, what do you mean? If the first day of Sukkot falls on a Friday, we're not having 48 blasts. Answer, essentially, now the Gemara is, it's not going to happen. We won't allow it to happen. So the Gemara says, are you right? Meaning, is that true what you're saying? But did we not learn in the Mishnah, that the chalev of Shabbos, meaning that if I had a carbon if I had the karbanos that are offered on Shabbos, and now the karbanos that are offered on Shabbos should be burnt on Shabbos. But we know the deal. We know that generally speaking, what happens is that we offer the karbanos on Shabbos, but in other words, it could be, well, Shabbos, there's not much else going on, but the karbanos may not be totally burnt. So when do we burn the karbanos? Motzei Shabbos. The karbanos are generally burned Motzei Shabbos. What if Motzei Shabbos happens to be Yom Kippur? What do I do then? The Braisa says, it's actually a Mishnah, that the Chalavim on Shabbos, all the Karbanos on Shabbos, that are offered on Shabbos, that weren't totally burned, you burn them on Yom Kippur the next day. What do you see from this Mishnah? That Yom Kippur can be Sunday. So we have a Mishnah that clearly points to the idea that Yom Kippur can fall on a Sunday. So you're telling me, well, Yom Kippur is not going to fall on a Sunday. Meanwhile, the Mishnah says, you know, Yom Kippur falls on a Sunday. And if it does, the karbanos that were offered on Shabbos can be burned, Motzei Shabbos, even though Motzei Shabbos is Yom Kippur. Okay, so we have a Mishnah. The Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Zera, Kiavina Beirav, Bebavel. So Rabbi Zera says, look, let me tell you a little bit about my life. It's not a biography, but I'll tell you a little bit of what happened. I used to be in Bavel. This is Rabbi Zera. You'll know that when it says Rebbe Zera, it means he ends up in Israel. How do I know that just by his name? Right. We've said this a number of times. When you get the term Rebbe, that means that you got smicha. Rav just simply means, you know, it's like right in the olden days in America, those who were in the rabbinate, so they referred to themselves as reverend. I know we think of it as like a non-Jewish term. It's generally used by the non-Jewish world, but reverend just simply means reverential. Meaning, we revere him. He doesn't have smicha per se, but Rav just simply means we have reverence towards him. Fine. But when you get the term Rebbe, that means he got smicha. Smicha is only given in Eretz Yisrael. So Rebbe Zera, we know how his story is and how his life is going to end. It's going to be in Eretz Yisrael. But he says the following. When I was in Bavel, Havei Amri Hadetan Yom Kippur Shechaliyot Erev Shabbos. So Rebbe Zera says, look, when we had a Braisa, and the Braisa says that Yom Kippur falls out on Erev Shabbos, lo yitokim, they wouldn't blow shofar to tell everybody, hey, stop working, because Friday was Yom Kippur. No one's working. So they didn't have those extra blasts, those extra six blasts. Uvei Motzei Shabbos. Now, what if Yom Kippur fell on Sunday? Lo hayu mavdilin. So there's no Havdalah. Well, of course there's no Havdalah. Havdalah says, I'm going from Shabbos to a weekday. If Yom Kippur falls on a Sunday, so there's no need for Havdalah. Okay, now, when I was in Bavel, we had that Braisa, and how did we learn the Braisa in the Yeshiva in Bavel? Divrei Hakol. We learned that Braisa was going according to everybody. And then, Kisalikta Lahasam, but then when I went there, meaning to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechizel, Rabbi Yehuda, Berei, the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, the Yosef Ekamre, Rabbi Kivahi. So, I learned something new. That Braisa is not according to everyone, that's only going like Rabbi Akiva. Now, not to get involved right now in the machlokas within Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, it's not for us right now. All we need to know is the following: that we have a brisa, and the truth of the matter is, all this information that Rabbi Zera is giving us is informative. But it's incidental to the point. The point is that Rabbi Zera is basically saying that it's quite possible that Yom Kippur can either come out on a Friday, and if it does, we're not blowing shofar, and if Yom Kippur falls on Sunday, we're not making havdalah. That's going like Rabbi Akiva, going according to everybody. That's incidental to the basic point. The basic point is, we can have Yom Kippur come out either on Friday or on Sunday. So the Gemara says, you're telling me it doesn't happen. I'm telling you, we just learned it from Rabbi Zera, it does happen. So now, how are we going to deal with our Mishnah? Our Mishnah now is describing, well, you know, when Sukkot and Erev Shabbos, what we're going to do is we're going to blow the shofar a total of 48 times. Not always, meaning if that first day of Sukkot comes out on Erev Shabbos, we're not blowing the shofar 48 times. And how can you tell me that our Mishnah is talking about annually? It's not annual. So to which the Gemara says, well, it is annual because it's never going to happen. Now we've just said in the Gemara a number of times over, including Rabbi Zera, no, it does happen. Lo kasha harabanan ha'acherim. So the Gemara says whether it does or does not happen. And we've seen this before, but now we get to see it again. This is a debate, meaning there are two schools of thought. One school of thought is that it does not happen, and another school of thought is it does happen. And our Mishnah is following the school of thought that it does not happen, where Rosh Hashanah will not occur neither on a Sunday or on a Friday. Yom Kippur will not occur Rosh Hashanah will not fall on a Sunday, Wednesday, or Friday. Yom Kippur will not occur on a Friday or on a Sunday. Our Mishnah is following that school of thought. And being that our Mishnah is following that school of thought, now you understand our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that every time Sukkot falls on Erev Shabbos, we're blowing 48 times. Correct. Agreed. What if in the event Sukkot falls on Erev Shabbos? Our Mishnah is following the school of thought. It's not going to happen. There is another school of thought that says it is going to happen. Now, we've already seen that together with Rabbi Zera, but Rabbi Zera is not a Tana. Can we see that within the position of a Tana? The Gemara says, yeah. We're going to see it just simply as the opinion of Acherim. Acherim, simply put, means others say. But Acherim means espousing the viewpoint of a particular Tana. We don't know who the Tana is. Huh? Right. Generally speaking. But okay, but anyway, that's Acherim. Acherim says that it can happen. D'tanya. And how do I know this? Because of the following braisa. Acherim omrim ein bein atzeres latzeres. Vein bein Rosh Hashanah l'Rosh Hashanah ela arba yamim bavad. You want to know when atzeres is going to fall out next year, Shavuos is going to fall out next year? All you have to know is what day of the week Shavuos fell out this year, and then I can go ahead and look next year and see when Shavuos falls out. And if you want to know when Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out next year, you'll just simply look at Rosh Hashanah this year, and you'll know what day of the week Rosh Hashanah is going to fall out next year. And it's going to be 4 days away, 4 days later. So 4 days later, how do we work? That's what Rashi says, and I'll just give it to you simply, hopefully, and succinctly. Look, a Jewish year has 354 days, period. 354 days. Yeah, the math is relatively easy. I'm going to, you know, put a little disclaimer. Relatively easy. How is it relatively easy? Because we know that we base ourselves on the Jewish month. The Jewish month is 29 days, 29 and a half days. Now, I'm oversimplifying, but that's fine. For our purposes, oversimplification is fine. It's 29 and a half days. So what do? So month in, month out, we alternate. Well, in other words, we obviously can't make a month 29 and a half days. So 1 month will be 29, the next month will be 30. When the third month will be 29, the fourth month will be 30. And we just go in that consecutive order. And then if you do that, it averages out to 29 and a half days. Now, if you do that over the course of a 12-month period, so what are you going to arrive at? 354. It's 29 times 6 plus 30 times 6. That's 354. 354 days, so what is that? So let's first take 350 days away. 350 days is 50 weeks, 50 perfect weeks. 350 divided by 7, that's 50 perfect weeks. So now I'm going to get right back, after 350 days, I'm going to get right back to the beginning, and then 4 more days. So then I'm going to add 4 more days. And this position of the Acherim is year in, year out, that's how it's going to be. Now, what if we add an additional month? What if it's a leap year and we add an additional month? So Acherim say no problem. So the im haisa shnas mubaris. Now, if it's an Ibra Yar, if we're adding another month, so then chamisha. So then it's 5 additional days. Why? Because as Rashi explains, because if you're going to have an additional month, the additional month is always going to be 29 days, right? We're just about to conclude the additional month. So the additional month, according to Acherim, is always going to be 29 days. So again, 28 days now, that's 4 additional weeks, and then we're going to add 1 more day. So in an Ibra Yar, it's not going to be 4 days, it's going to be 5 days. Anyway, but what is the position of the Acherim? The position of the Acherim is, year in, year out, that's how it's going to be. And I don't care when it lands and when it actually falls on the calendar, that's how we're going to go year in and year out, according to that schedule. According to the Acherim, then, it comes out now, that it's possible, because I do not care when that occurs, it's always going to be either 4 or 5 days later. So according to the Acherim, that means that Rosh Hashanah, and by consequence, Sukkot, can come out on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, any day of the week, Friday or even Sunday. So now it comes out now that according to the Acherim, it can happen. Where the first day of Sukkot can come out on a Friday, the first day of Rosh Hashanah will come out on a Friday, and we have that school of thought. Okay, now just, I'm saying this as a parenthetical note. If you get it, good. If you don't get it, that's fine. We'll come back and we'll discuss it more in Rosh Hashanah. This is very difficult to understand because it's not 29 days and 12 hours, right? For those of you who know a little bit about the lunar month, we're going to discuss this in Rosh Hashanah. It's 29 days, 12 hours, and approximately another 2/3 of an hour, right? If you want to be more accurate, it's 793 halakim out of 1,080. Right, they didn't have minutes and seconds. They divide the hour into 1,080 parts. So it's 793 parts of 1,080. Basically, to put it in simpler terms, it's about another 2/3 of an hour. So the truth of the matter is that at the end of the year, every month you're really getting an aggregate of every month an additional about 43 minutes every month, and those minutes add up. In other words, you take 2/3 of an hour, and you do that 12 times over. So now you're going to be getting about 8 additional hours at the end of every year. And then 3 years' time, you're going to be getting an additional day. So the truth of the matter is that in this procedure that we're describing over here, it's hard to understand because there is going to be an accumulation, and you can't ignore after 3 years an additional day. Hard to ignore that. Okay. Right. It's not our topic right now. I'm just pointing out as a parenthetical note that it's not exactly 29 and a half days. Okay, but meanwhile, we're far away from the basic point of the Gemara. The basic point of the Gemara is that there are two separate schools of thought. One school of thought is that we do figure the Rosh Chodesh not just based on the lunar calendar, but we also take the days of the week into account. And we're therefore going to manipulate so that Rosh Hashanah will not come out on a Friday, Rosh Hashanah will not come out on a Sunday. By consequence, Sukkot will not come out on a Friday and Sukkot will not come out on a Sunday. Our Mishnah takes that position, and therefore, according to our Mishnah, it will always happen that on the Sukkot of Erev Shabbos, we're blowing the shofar 48 times. Fine. And there is another school of thought where Rosh Hashanah can fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday. That's the position of the Acherim. Okay.
The question is, I don't think that deal happened, but what about the discussion? Did it happen or not?
Right. Correct. Rabbi Z-
what was it recorded?
And now, you'll remember, Mem Gimel, I'd like to say Mem Gimel, and there's a chance that I'm going to be right. But it's, you know, if I'm not right, I'm... The Gemara actually had a debate whether it did or did not happen. It's strange. I'm not giving any clarity to your question. I'm just simply saying that the Gemara actually debated whether it did or it did not happen. So I'm not shedding any light. I'm just simply pointing out that the Gemara earlier also basically went along these two schools of thought. Okay. And again, for our purposes, in other words, when the calendar was fixed, we know, I mean, in the last 1,700 years, we know that they fixed the calendar with this in mind so that Rosh Hashanah does not fall out on a Friday or on a Sunday.
Rabbi Zera said,
it sounds like from Rabbi Zera, I'm gonna agree with you. It sounds like from Rabbi Zera that it did happen. Correct. Agreed. Okay. We go on. Meisve. So now we're in the Gemara, we're in Nandal Amud Beis, and Meisve we're challenging. Who are we challenging? We're going back to Rabbi Acha. So the Gemara again, this is yesterday's daf, and this will be half of today's daf as well. Oh, that's not the right time. I guess it is. Okay. Rabbi Zera says, sorry, Rabbi Acha says, now Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Acha says, again, he had a thesis. His thesis was that if I had a conjunction of two Musafim, Rosh Chodesh Shabbos, Sukkah Shabbos, if I have a conjunction where I'm going to have two Musaf opportunities on one given day, we're going to blow shofar for both of those Musaf opportunities. That was the assertion of Rabbi Acha. The Gemara says, I don't think he's right. And why does the Gemara say that? Meis Feit's based on a Braisa. We are continuing in the Gemara. We are on Nundal Amud Beis, and we're about 8 lines from the bottom of the Amud. Right, second wide line. Meis Feit Rosh Chodesh, Echalios B'Shabbos, if I have Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos, coincide. Shir Shal Rosh Chodesh, Doche Shir Shal Shabbos. The Rosh Chodesh Shir is going to bump off the Shabbos Shir. Oh, okay. We'll come back to Tadir in just a second. But right now, the simple reading of the Braisa sounds like what? We get bumped. The Shir Shal Shabbos gets bumped. So now if you're Rabbi Acha, what are you going to do with this Braisa? That's a good question. The Gemara asked that question. The Iisa Lema de Shabbos Velema de Rosh Chodesh. If Rabbi Acha is right, you're going to be saying both. Okay, that's difficult. Amar Asafra, my Doche, Doche Likadeim. So we're going to have to interpret the Braisa. The Braisa means is that Rosh Chodesh comes before Shabbos. That's what the Braisa means. And that's not a simple reading of the Braisa. That's a little bit of a kvetch in the Braisa because the Braisa uses the word doche. Doche usually means gets bumped out, but we're going to say a new psha in the Braisa. The Braisa just simply means kedima. The Rosh Chodesh comes before Shabbos. The Gemara says ve'amai tar divashen tar tar kodem. So the Gemara says that's difficult. Meaning, if we got bumped off, fine. But if it's not getting bumped off, and it's just a question of which comes first, we know we have rules that guide us in terms of which comes first. The rules are tadir v'sheno tadir tadir kodem. So we always go with the one that's more frequent. That's the one that occurs first. I'm Rav Yochanan leid shuk for Rosh Chodesh bizmano. So Rav Yochanan says, yeah, that's the rule. But like we've said time and again, with every rule there are exceptions. Here's an exception. Rosh Chodesh and Shabbos coincide. We're going to do the Rosh Chodesh first. The people are going to say, well, that's strange. That's unusual. Good. Got you. That's exactly what we want. We want people to say that's strange and that's unusual because it'll help us broadcast a message to the world. Today is Rosh Chodesh. Meaning, remember, Rosh Chodesh was an event that is based on Beis Din and based on witnesses and based on a number of other variables. But we want the people to know what their Rosh Chodesh is. So one of the ways that we would broadcast this information would be by telling everyone, showing everyone in the Beis HaMikdash, you know, Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh. We're offering the Rosh Chodesh carbon first. We're singing the Shir of the Rosh Chodesh first, even though that violates the rule of Tadir V'Sheino Tadir, exactly. Meaning we want it to be unusual as a hacker, and we want to serve as a hacker. So the Gemara says, really, v'ay akera avdinan, ha'akera achrinan avdinan. So the Gemara says, we do other unusual things. Notably, remember we did this not that long ago in Yuma. Second parak of Yuma. We had the discussion of, they would shech the karbon, tamid, and then they would cut it up into pieces. Then they would not bring it up the ramp, they would bring it to the ramp, drop it on the ramp, do another avoda, and then come back and then bring the limbs up to the top of the Mizbeach. Where was it placed on the ramp? So every carbon had a specific spot on the ramp so that nothing would get confused. So the Tamid Shel Shachar, the morning Tamid, is placed on the ramp, on the lower half of the ramp, B'Mizrach, placed on the east side of the ramp. Right? I think easy. It's an easy mnemonic. It helps us remember east because it's the morning and the sun rises in the east. Musaf and Itani Mechatzi Kevish Lamata B'Marav. Now, what about the Musaf? The Musaf is placed on the lower half of the ramp, on the west side of the ramp. Right? The dimensions of the ramp, we just discussed this the other day, 32 amas from bottom to top, 16 amas from end to end, from east to west. So 16 amas, so on the 8 amas to the east, that's where the Tamid Shel Shachar is placed, on the lower half, the southern half of the ramp. The Musaf is placed on the western side of the ramp. V'shal Rosh Chodesh, Nitan and Tachas Karkova Mizbech, Ulamata, and as far as Rosh Chodesh is concerned, on a higher elevation of the ramp. So, and why is it placed on a higher elevation of the ramp? Hecker, to tell everyone, hey look, see that over there? Those are the limbs of the Musaf Rosh Chodesh. Today's Rosh Chodesh. So you had a special place on the ramp for the Musaf of Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rav Yochanan, and why do we do that? We turn to the top of Nunayim and Aleph. Le'id Ashok V'Rosh Chodesh B'Zmano. To tell everybody, it's Rosh Chodesh, so that people know. So we have other unique features that we do specific to the Karbon, Rosh Chodesh, that broadcast and tell everyone, hey, today's Rosh Chodesh. So the Gemara says very simply, So the Gemara says, okay, just because we do one hecker doesn't mean that we can't do another hecker. The Gemara says, look, we're interested in broadcasting the information that today's Rosh Chodesh. So there are two hekerim. It's not a difficult question. It's not a difficult answer. So one hecker is going to be where the carbon is placed on the ramp. Specifically, the Rosh Chodesh carbon is placed on the upper portion of the ramp. And furthermore, in terms of order, we're going to offer the Musaf Shel Rosh Chodesh before the Musaf Shel Shabbos. That doesn't follow the general rules of Tadir. Good. We're going to break the rules of Tadir as a way of hecker, as a way of broadcasting. Okay. Meisvei. The Gemara doesn't stop. Meaning, we have defended Rabbi Acha, but we're still going to attack Rabbi Acha because we have another braisa. Did ni Rabbi Bar Shmuel Yochel Kishem Shetokim Al Shabbos Mifnei Atzmo Val Rosh Chodesh Mifnei Atzmo Kacha Yitokin Al Kol Musaf U Musaf. I might have thought, right? Just like I blow shofar on Shabbos, just like I blow shofar on Rosh Chodesh, each one independently. Kacha Yitokin Al Kol Musaf U Musaf Tamalomar Uver Ashei Chachechem. The braisa ends off by saying, but if there's conjunction, we're not going to do it. We're not going to blow on each one individually, but we're just simply going to blow on Musaf. Period. One blowing for Musaf. Period. Now, how exactly the Gemara derived that from the Pasuk of Rashei Chashechem, we'll leave that for the moment as a mystery, but the braisa seems to be very clear in its conclusion. When there are multiple Musafim, one blowing of the shofar. Tiyufta deravach. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, no, it's okay. Tiyufta deravacha tiyufta. So the Gemara says, okay, there's no way getting around this braisa. The braisa is making its point pretty clearly. How the derivation works, we'll get to in just a moment. But the braisa says, multiple musafim, one blowing of the shofar. Rabbi Acha's thesis seems to be disproven. In fact, the Gemara says tiyufta. It's refuted. So first of all, the Gemara says, okay, how does that derivation work? My Talmud, Amar Abaye, Amar Kra, Uverashay Chad Sheichem, Hukshu Kol Chadashem Kulam Zelazeh. There's a uniformity to Rosh Chodesh. Every Rosh Chodesh is going to be for Musaf one shofar blast. One series of shofar blasts, meaning it's 9 in total, but one series of shofar blasts every Rosh Chodesh, irrespective of whether or not there's going to be other reasons to blow for Musaf. Doesn't matter. Rosh Chodeshim Hukshu Zelazeh. They're all going to be uniform. So that means then on a Rosh Chodesh by itself, I'm going to blow 9 times. On a Rosh Chodesh in conjunction with Shabbos, I'm also only going to blow 9 times. Rav Ashi Amar Ksiv Chad Sheichem. Another possible way to understand the derivation is that the way it is written is Chad Sheichem, not in plural. Chad Sheichem, although that's how we pronounce it, but Chad Sheichem without a yud. Uksiv uverashay. And it says uverashay Chad Sheichem. That's confusing. Rashe means it's multiple rush, it's multiple firsts, and even though it's multiple firsts, we're only blowing the shofar one time. When do I have a Rosh Chodesh that happens to be multiple firsts? Answer, the first day of Tishrei. The first day of Tishrei, it's two things. Number one, it's Rosh Chodesh. It's the first of the month. Number two, it's also Rosh Hashanah. There's a Musaf for Rosh Chodesh, and there's a Musaf for Rosh Hashanah. And what does the Torah tell us? Blow the shofar one series. And if that's true for Rosh Chodesh, for Rosh Hashanah, it'll be true for any other conjunction as well. If I have a Musaf Rosh Chodesh in conjunction with Shabbos, if I have a Musaf Rosh Chodesh in conjunction with, I was going to say Sukkot, but then I realized that could be possibly the dumbest thing I would say today. If I had Shabbos and Sukkot, so whatever the conjunction is, if I have a conjunction of various Musafim on one given day, so then I'm only going to blow the shofar just but one time. Let me just say the Gemara. Ezu Chodesh Yesh Lo Shnei Rashim HaVyam is a Rosh Hashanah. That is Rosh Hashanah, and yet the Torah says, V'amar Rechmana Chashechem Chadhi, that we only blow the shofar but one time. Okay. Meaning, how the Brisa arrives at the conclusion, either uniformity of Rosh Chodesh, or because of Rashi Chodeshechem. Either way, the conclusion is going to be the same. That if I have a conjunction of Varis Musafim, I only blow the shofar one series, not multiple series. So the Gemara says, what have we done with Rav Acha? Sounds like a refutation. V'o Tanya, and the Gemara says, and oh, by the way, let's just reinforce the position that Rav Acha's position is really not defensible. B'chol Shal Moed B'rishon Ma'ayu Omrim. An Chol Moed, what would they say? In other words, and here the Brice is going to give us the day-by-day shear. So on the first day, they would say, Ma'ayu Omrim Havala Shem B'nei Elam. B'sheni Ma'ayu Omrim L'Rosha Amar Lokim. B'shloshi Ma'ayu Omrim Yakum Li'imareim. B'rivim Ma'ayu Omrim Binu Ba'orim Ba'am. B'chamishi Ma'ayu Omrim Hasirosi M'sev HaShechmo. B'shishi Ma'ayu Omrim Yimotu Kol Mosday Aretz. Various Parakim. Please take a look at Rashi. I'm looking at the clock right now. Please take a look at Rashi, where Rashi goes and explains why these particular Mizmorim, why these particular Parakim and Tehillim are relevant towards Sukkot. It has to do with our making sure that we take care of the poor people. Sukkot is a time where we have to make sure that we take care of the poor people. Remember, Sukkot is a time of year when we have the crop and we're bringing the crop in. It's Chag HaAsif. We're bringing all the crop in. Now, in other words, we're getting basically our crops for the year. We want to make sure that we remind ourselves of distribution to the poor people. That's Rashi in a very short, in a very quick nutshell. Anyway, please take a look at Rashi inside. V'im chal Shabbos be'echad mehem, yimotu yidcha. Now, what if Shabbos falls out during one of those days? So the yimotu gets pushed off. Meaning, basically, that if we're having a conjunction, meaning we're having a Shabbos and we're having and Sukkot. So what do? We take the shear and we push it off. What is that telling us? That there are not multiple shears that are set on one day. It's only one shear that's set on that day. And being that there's only one shear set on one day, how many series of shofars are being blown? Only one series, not multiple series. So once again, another refutation of Rabbi Acha. Now, Rav Safra Manach Behu Simana. Now, Rav Safra says, now, how are we going to remember all this? In other words, we have a list of Prakim of Tehillim that are set on any given day, on the days of Chol HaMoed Sukkot. So, Rav Safra Manach Behu Simana, Hum Bahi. So, the Hey Vav Mem Beis Hey Yud, that's a mnemonic, it helps us remember. Rav Papa Manach Behu Simana, Hum Ha Bi. Okay, so, various ways in terms of how to order the Prakim. V'simancha, and just to remember, in other words, so we have a mnemonic, but to be fair, we have two different opinions, and just to give us another mnemonic to help us remember who said what. V'simancha ambuhui desifra desifrei ambuhui desifrei. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi explains how this mnemonic works, but basically, sifrei is the same word as safra, and that's how we're going to remember that Rav Safra was the one who said hum bahi and not hum ha bi. Anyway, again, I know I'm moving past a lot of the details in the Gemara, but the basic point is Tiyufta de Rav Acha b'Rabbi Chanina Tiyufta. Again, another refutation of the position of Rabbi Acha, that if I do have a conjunction, if I do have multiple musafim that are offered, so obviously we're going to offer every musaf, but how many shears are we going to sing? One. How many series of shofars are we going to blow? One. Rav Acha's position seems to be refuted. V'ha Rabbi Acha, Rabbi Chinen, Akram, Masnitz, and Kamar. The Gemara says, okay, but let's try to now tie up the loose ends. And that is, Rabbi Acha didn't just say it. If you remember, you go back to yesterday's daf, and you'll remember back in Nundal Amad Aleph, Rabbi Acha said it based on a Braisa, and the Braisa was based on Pesukim. What are we going to do with the Braisa? What are we going to do with the Pesukim? The Gemara says, Amar Avina Lomar Shema'arichim B'tzkios. Remember Nundal Amad Aleph? What was the Braisa, Rabbi Acha? You see it right in the middle of the Amud. Rabbi Acha comes in, Ki also Rabbi Acha bar Rabbi Chanin Mijeroma. He came from the south. I see Masnitz of Yadei, but a Braisa. Uvne Aron HaKohanim Yitku'u. And what was the problem with that pasuk? The word yitku is superfluous. They're going to blow the chatzotzos. Well, what else are they going to do with the chatzotzos? Shein tam lomer yitku, shekvar nemar tkatem chatzotzos, ala losechem, al zif cheshamechem, ma tam lomer yitku, hakol lefi amusafim. Everything is based on the musafim. So now that we refuted Rabbi Acha, so let's ask a really simple question. What do we do with the brisa? What do we do with the pesukim? Answers the Gemara. You know what we do? Ma'arichin B'tzkios. All we mean is that we're going to extend the tzkios. Right? You'll remember that there are tzkios, there are chatzosos, there are trumpets, there's also shofros. Make sure that the tzkia is the one that is the sound that goes the longest, not the chatzosos. Good. That's all the braisa means. But in terms of the number of times that we're blowing the shofar, one series in the event that there's conjunction. Rabbanika de Kesar, Mishmed Rabbi Acha, Amre Lomashe, Amarbe B'token. There are more people blowing on the shofar than that on the chatzotzos. Okay, just in other words, different ways to understand the braisa of Rabbi Acha. The Anan. Okay, and we just finish up this Amud of Gemara with a very simple question. Good. We have now learned that in the Beis HaMikdash, in the event that we have multiple musafim, Shabbos Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos Sukkos. So there are multiple musafim. So what have we just concluded? Not like Rabbi Acha, but rather our conclusion is only one shear. Which shear is it going to be? Okay, so that's a separate discussion. Certainly sounds like from the Gemara that we just did is that the Shabbos is going to push off the Sukkos. Okay, either way. Okay, one series of tekiyos. Good. The Gemara says, as long as we're here discussing this issue, the Anan, what about us, Dislei Tri Yuma? We have 2 days of Yantif. Okay? Correct? We live in the diaspora. This is the Gemara asking the question from Bava. We live in the diaspora. We have now Sveika de Yuma. So we always walk every day of Sukkos with a lack of clarity. Is today the 15th day of Tishrei? Or perhaps today's not the 15th, today's the 14th. So what do we do as a result of that Safek? So, the 15th day of Tishrei, we will celebrate Sukkos, the first day of Sukkos. And what are we going to do on the 16th day of Tishrei? Nachamol. We're going to celebrate Sukkos again, the first day of Sukkos. Good. Now we get to Chol HaMoed, right? Which is now going to be the 17th day of Tishrei. Now, what is the 17th day of Tishrei in the Galus? Could be the 16th, could be the 17th. So, a simple question now, how do we read the Torah? Right? And now, again, we all know the answer. We've gone to shul enough times in our lifetime, we know. But the Gemara is asking the question, how do we read the Torah? So, Abai Amar Sheni Yidche, Rav Amar Shvi Yidche. What gets bumped? Is 2 going to get bumped, or 7 going to get bumped? Now, as Rashi points out, we're not going to entertain the idea that on Yontif, we're going to be reading Chol HaMoed. We don't want to do that because if we're reading Chol HaMoed on Yontif, meaning on the second day of Yontif, so people come to shul on the second day of Yontif, and they hear Chol HaMoed reading, so then they're going to say to themselves, second day of Yontif? Come on, they're reading Chol HaMoed. So on the second day of Yontif, we're for sure going to read Yontif, right? Which is what we do, obviously. So now, I only have 5 days of Chol HaMoed, and I got 6 kriyas to do. So what gets bumped? So, machlokus amongst the Amoraim. Abai says we'll bump 2. Rava says we'll bump 7. Tanya kavase de Rava. We're going to have a brisa going like Rava. Imchal Shabbos liyos bechamehem yimoti yidche. The brisa that we just learned says that we bump off Chol HaMoed Sukkos. Itken amemar benaradai demedalge deluge. And then practical halacha amemar says, you know how we did it in Narda? We jumped around. That is the Gemara's conclusion. It is not a clear conclusion of the Gemara, what exactly that means. We jump around. please take a look at Rashi. Rashi over here goes over what he believes is the correct minhag. Okay? And in terms of seeing it in practice, so go to Shul and Chol HaMoed, and you're going to see exactly how we understand the Gemara's conclusion of Medalge Deluge. Okay, let's just begin the next Mishnah, and I will continue obviously tomorrow. Tomorrow representing, of course, the last day of the Masechta. You are on Nunhei Amud Beis. Yom Tov Rishon Shachag Hayusham Yugimol Parim Elim Shnayim Usir Echad. Okay. Right, let me just give a brief introduction. This is really just one basic idea. Okay, we know that on Sukkos, so what happens? It's a great reunion. Reunion? So we know that David instituted that the Mishmaros are going to be divided into 24. The Kohanim are the ones who are enlisted to do the Avoda. And only the Kohanim can do the Avoda. Which Kohen is going to be serving in the Beis HaMikdash? So organization is a need in order to determine which Kohen is going to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So what David instituted is that we're going to have, it's going to be broken down into 24 separate Mishmaros. Mishmaros is basically a unit. So in other words, each family is going to be assigned to one of the Mishmaros so that we know that we're one of the 24. Right, every one of the 24 Mishmaros has a name, Yahoyariv, and etc. And so therefore, for 1 week of, for 1 week, our Mishmar is going to go to the Beis HaMikdash and serve in the Beis HaMikdash that week. On Shabbos, the next Mishmar. On Shabbos, the next Mishmar. So in 24 weeks, we're going to go through all 24 Mishmaros. So in any given year, you're basically going to be working 2 weeks of the year. It's like the Miluim of the Kohanim. So 2 weeks in the year, you're going to begin the Beis HaMikdash and doing the Avodah. Come Yontif, all the Kohanim come, and all the Kohanim are involved in the Avodah on Yontif. That's what I mean by it's a great reunion. And basically what we're going to be learning in this Mishnah, I guess we'll start it tomorrow, what we're going to be learning together in this Mishnah is the idea that on Yontif, specifically Sukkos, we have all 24 Mishmaros coming. We have a lot of Karbanos that are going to be offered. So basically this Mishnah is going to give us the formula for how we're going to divide the 24 Mishmaros vis-a-vis all the Karbanos that are brought on Yontif. The other variable, which we'll talk more about tomorrow, is that on Sukkos, it's not a fixed number of Karbanos that are offered every day. On the first day of Sukkos, we have 13 bulls. On the second day, 12. And it goes down in numbers every day. So that's another variable that needs to be taken into consideration. So, basically, the Mishnah is going to give us a very simple formula in terms of how to figure the 24 Mishmaros are going to be handling all the Karbanos of Sukkos. Okay, we'll start this tomorrow. We'll continue tomorrow. So again, today's daf essentially more discussion of Rabbi Acha, a refutation of Rabbi Acha's position. Comes out that in the event of conjunction, only one shear is said, not multiple shiros. And as a result of that, there's obviously going to be one of the shears that are going to get pushed off. Good, so therefore, only one series of shofars that are offered. And Musaf, even in a day where there are going to be multiple Musafim that are left.